Okay, let's read here. John, the fifth chapter, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, blind and halt and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at the certain season into the pool and troubled the water. So the angel went down into the water, which I didn't realize that before. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease it had. He had, that is. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been a long time in that case. And he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Which is a question. Not that I'll make you whole. He says, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, because he was crippled. But while I am coming, another stepped down before me. Boy, that sounds like a crowd, doesn't it? Stepping down in front of this man to get healed. Well, we can't really say much about it, because everybody wants to be healed of their infirmities. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered him, or them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up my bed and walk. And then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed unto himself away, and multitude being in that place. And so we see here that the troubled waters were because of the Lord, of course. And when the angel went down into the water, it became troubled. In other words, it was a miraculous intervention for people to be healed. And what does it say here about the people that were healed? That they were blind and halt and withered, impotent, waiting for the Holy Spirit to heal them. So Bethesda means the house of mercy. Isn't that good to know? That we are in the house of mercy here. If it wasn't for the Lord, we'd all be hell-bound, wouldn't we? And Brother Dave, I know some of his past. You know some of my past. Brother Lynn and Brother Kurt, I don't know too much about his past. But we want to let that go, don't we? We want to let it be buried under the blood of Christ, that we might know that we have mercy in the hands of the Lord. So we live in a world of disappointed people. And if they're not going to disappoint you, or if you're not going to disappoint them, they'll disappoint you. I've had plenty of people that have disappointed me. Yes, even a preacher or two. And some have been way off the doctrine and tried to convert me to Calvinism and this kind of thing. But the Lord knows that we want to stay on the straight and narrow path. So it is impossible. It is impossible to be around people for any length of time without facing someone who is disappointed or someone who is disappointing you. I remember in the past, I put a lot of emphasis on this guy that I work with in the union over there in Grand Island at the Conestoga Mall, which we built the Conestoga Mall. And he wanted me to get suckered into speaking in tongues. And I said, Rich, why don't you tell me how to speak in tongues? And I got to reading my Bible, and I said to myself, no man's going to teach me how to speak in tongues. If I speak in tongues, it's got to be of the Lord. In other words, another language. Not some heavenly gibberish, right? And so he was my good man. the best man at my wedding, my first go-around, that is. So a great multitude waiting for the stirring of the water. And yes, we are that type of people today. We're waiting for the stirring of the Holy Spirit. And when we go out to witness somebody, we better have the Holy Spirit's power, or we're going to blah, 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 right? Our voices will not be as it needs to be. And so the Lord wants us to be able to have the filling of the Spirit, and He wants us to ask for it most of all. So God extends a loving kindness to affect people through us. And that's why we need to not cast our confidence away. And many times we do feel like we're wasting our time, don't we? Brother Jordan, I give him credit. He's 85. He still is knocking doors. Can you believe that? Still knocking doors. Ran across a 16-year-old the other day that wanted to get saved. And he went over there to talk to her, and she was sick. So he's going over there today, I believe it is. But he's a diehard. He doesn't give up. And none of us need to give up, no matter what the consequences are. Right. Because people are going to let you down, and we're going to let other people down, because we are deprived sinners. So the first person that would step into that water was healed. And this man says, how can I unless somebody would help me? And you know, I'm going to go down to that meeting down there, and I've got this old cane here, and yes, it makes me look like I am ready to give it up, right? But I'm not going to give it up. No way. And I'm going to go down there for 4 days and sit in that meeting and get revived. Isn't that what we all need? We don't need to be looking at somebody else and say, hey, they're better than I am, or they're worse than I am, because the Lord has made only one pattern, and that's you. And that's why we want to be able to be the best we can be. So around the pool laid a multitude of sick people waiting to be healed. Isn't that the way it is today? In this old world, they're waiting for the Lord Jesus to heal them. Not outwardly, but on the inside. They need the Word of God developed in their hearts to be able to see clearly, because the god of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And I was that way up until the age of 23, I think it was, in that area. And man, it's like the Lord turned the lights on and said, sick them. Go for it. So I began to tell other people in my hometown of Aurora. And when I did, some mocked me and some said, what happened to that guy? He used to be a rebel rouser. Well, the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. And so we must not think ourselves more highly than what we ought to think. So Satan blinds the minds of those that believe not. And we all need to realize we are impotent in so many ways. We really are. We don't have a problem here necessarily physically, but we do spiritually. We got to keep on our toes, because Satan is out to try to rob us of the joy. Let's look at another one here, which it, you know it probably by memory, but let's look at Luke 19:10. Luke 19:10. Just around the corner. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's come to seek, and he's come to save that which is lost. He's seeking. There's a guy on the internet that he's in the Eziti. I think I'm pronouncing it right, Kurt? Eziti. He knows about some Eziti people. And I talked to him at the cell place, and I don't even went over to his house and talked to him. He's got a lovely family. And I keep seeing him on Facebook, and I think to myself, I need to find out where he's at and talk to him again. All kinds of people. The electrician to come down to Beatrice there. I still need to get a hold of that guy. But the Lord keeps refreshing our minds who we should go to talk to. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. It's one that I love very much, because we need to meditate on good things, not the disapproval things of the world and the things that are going to bottle us up. So Jesus came to the paralytic man. He didn't ask to be healed, did he? Jesus came to him. I didn't ask to be saved, but the Lord came to me. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And many times we think to ourselves, if we can just get the Word of God, and that's what it takes, the Word of God, to convict and woo and compel others to come to know the Lord. But it's not us that does the promoting, it's the Holy Spirit. Hopefully I can make it through this message without my voice fizzling up. So no man cometh unto the Father unless the Spirit does what? Anybody finish that?
Draws him.
Right. Draws. The Holy Spirit will draw. Aren't you glad that you're among the elect? Not Calvinistic, but the very elect. Because I'm grateful that I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We need not forget. Forget the Lord is in charge. So he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But his own was the Jewish people. I ran across a guy the other day that said that he switched from the Berean church to go over to the Seventh-day Adventist church. Why? Because they don't believe in worshiping the Sabbath, he said. And I said to that dermatologist who it was, sir, that's not for us, it's for Jewish people. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, then things flipped, that we are to worship him on the first day of the week because he resurrected on that day. And so he listened, but yet I don't know if he absorbed it or not. But can you believe somebody? Yes, I can. People going astray like that. Jesse, can you go get me a drink of water, if you would? Thank you. If you don't mind. The man was disappointed when another man slipped into the waters ahead of him. You know, sometimes we can become jealous. You ever find yourself being jealous over somebody? Well, it hits all of us, doesn't it? It does. It hits each and every one of us to be jealous. And we have to shirk it off sometimes more than we do others. Because jealousy is a rage. It'll eat you up on the inside.
Right.
And this man was jealous because that other man slipped in front of him. I don't like anybody slip in front of me in the line, do you? So a man fell into the water and was drowning. And there were spectators up on top of the pier, I guess it was. And here this guy was, a fairly good-sized guy, not big, but fairly good-sized. And he was watching. And he could swim. The others evidently couldn't swim, otherwise they would have jumped in and saved the guy that was drowning. But he was hollering, "Help, help, I'm drowning." And he went down. And then he came back up. And he hollered out again with a gurgle in his mouth, "Help me, I'm drowning." And that guy on the bank just sat there and watched him. And he couldn't do anything about it. Nobody thought that he could do anything about it. But he went down the third time. And as he came back up, the man jumped in and got a hold of him, pulled him to shore and saved his life. And the spectators on the pier there said, "Why did you wait so long? Why did you wait so long to jump in and save that man?" He said, "Because he was too strong. He would have pulled me down and under. And I wouldn't have been able to pull him in." And I took life-saving when I was 16. And that's the first thing they said. Do not get in the way of their arm swing, because they're apt to pull you down. And you know, the worldly people today, they're out to pull us down, aren't they? If we hang with them too long, they're going to pull us down. And I know several people that are in jail today. And Brother Davey's got relation. And I know friends of mine, so-called friends, that have gone to jail, went back onto alcohol, went into that opioids, and just keep sliding away. Why? Because they're drowning. They're hanging with the wrong crowd. And that's why that we ourselves need to know that it's not to look at the disappointed people, but look at the positives and hang with the right crowd. So if you jump in to help that man, the guy said, you're going to be cold-cocked and he'll pull you down. So disappointments in life can either be a tragic thing, or they can turn into opportunities. I know that there's people that have done me wrong in the past, one pastor or two pastors, and several people, but yet that's why we need to not look at the man, look at the man Christ Jesus, who's going to lift us out of that miry muck of clay and set upon that rock which we've been hewn by. So Jesus doesn't turn his back on you, but we many times will fall, and he says that which is fallen, pray for that one that has fallen. Lift up that one that is gone astray from the Lord. Before I got saved, I had my late wife's cousin pray for me. He was a missionary to Ecuador, not at that time, but we both surrendered to go at that in a Grand Ole Baptist temple, that is. And so people pray for others to get saved before they get saved. And I'm glad of that, because we're hard nuts to crack, aren't we? We really are. And that's why we need the Lord to help us out. So we, as God's heritage, don't have to live in discouragement, despondency, and despair. The impotent man said, I have no one to help me out. Reminds me of the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, how can I unless a man should guide me and direct me? When's the last time that we ended up speaking to somebody about the Lord and they reject what we had to say? Do we give up? Well, I was reading in the Sword of the Lord here last night, or time before, whenever it was, and Tom Malone, had gone over to the hospital and spoke to this guy in the hospital, was laying there, and he said, sir, can I tell you about the Lord? Tell you about what it is to be saved? He said, all these years I've never been instructed about any of this in the Bible, and I just don't believe I'm interested right now. And he went back, Dr. Malone did, went back again the following week and talked to him again in the same song and dance. He said, I don't believe that I can get that taken care of, and I don't believe I have a mind to get it taken care of. I'm not interested. And the third time he went back, guess what? He met the nurse on the outside of the corridor of the room and found out that he had been taken out of the world. He didn't make it, did he? It's like Brother Kurt talking about Bo and how that he, most likely, we don't know for sure, hopefully he did get saved at the very last minute. But let's not give up. Let's not look at the disappointments that people give us. Help us to realize that we are just like those people out there. The only difference is we're saved by grace. And as we are God's heritage, don't have to live in despondency and despair. People are people who live in disillusioned life, and that doesn't necessarily mean much, except for their hard nuts crack sometimes. I don't want to give up on my son as far as in jail, and nobody wants to give up on your relation, do you? And I know others here have had requests about their different family members that aren't saved. Do we want to give up on them? We can't, can we? Can we say, forget it, if you don't want to listen to me? Brother Jordan said the other day, he goes out to knock doors, if they don't want to listen, he shakes the dust off. Well, sometimes we are commissioned to do so by the Lord. Shake the dust off and go on, but don't be despondent. So we are fortunate if we go through 1 week without a single disappointment. And I know that I've talked to somebody, some of you here, that have gone through some disappointments. Let's turn over here to James, the first chapter, one of my favorite verses here. Chapters, I should say. Chapter 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, many temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. And that entire means mature. And we that are mature should tell those that do not know diddly squat about the Bible, because I didn't know anything about the Bible, really. Kind of went in this ear and out that ear when I was sitting in that little Methodist church. But yet we must not let our patience wane away when we talk to people. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things. Through who? Christ. So he's the one that does the compelling, the wooing, and the instruction in righteousness that people might get saved. Aren't you reluctant to believe some of the things that people have? Like old Biden, he's got a big old smile on his face. What's deep down in his heart, do you suppose? About as wicked as the devil, isn't he? Not to say that we shouldn't pray for him and have compassion on him at all. But when people say, oh, I'm doing all right, are they really? Well, there's discouragements and despair and despondencies in every person's life that go into each and every week. Disappointments are a way of life. Let's just accept it. Right? Really is. And I could go into personal illustrations, but you've got them, I've got them, everybody's got them. At one time or another, every woman has thought to herself, why did I marry that man? Or the man say, why did I marry that woman? What? Don't get me wrong now, I'm not saying, pointing any fingers here. So we know that every one of us are sinners. Just like a friend of mine says, I can't get along with that woman of mine, and so I'm just going to shut her out. And he shuts her out for 2 weeks. He doesn't speak to her. He isolates himself in the basement. And he says, if she wants to be that way, I'll let it ride, and I'll get her back. Is that the way we deal with people? It isn't, is it? But you know what? They're getting along all right now. But he kind of relays that to me. You don't have any idea who I'm talking about, so don't think I'm gossiping, okay? So, we all are sinners. You've lived with me long enough, you'll know some of my downfalls and my shortcomings, right? Exactly. So there are children also. You say to yourself, and I love my two children, no doubt about it. But you know what? There's times that I feel like saying, hey, if you want to be rebellious, just hit the road, Jack. You ever feel that way? I know these two here don't have any children in their house, but they do have grandkids. And I know that they can get the best of you, too. But yeah, we're all sinners. We don't do anything that would... Do we have all good things to say from our neighbors and what have you? Because we don't... Because we do improve our lives and say, I've got a perfect life to live. No, we don't have that perfect life. And you have times you say, I don't even know why I've had children. Well, I do. They're an inheritance of the Lord, right? The Lord has blessed you with an inheritance. I haven't got to the point of having seven in my quiver yet, but I do know that Jesse and Rand are a blessing to me. They really are. Rihanna, the other day, I'll just say this quickly. Brother Dave gave me some tile and chili, of course. And so I took it up there to Beatrice, and I had to get a new wet saw. But here I'm cutting that stuff and spraying junk all over my face. But yet Rihanna took the plow, and she began to take that and lay it down. It's pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? And lay it down. She spread the then set on the floor and set it down, and as I cut it, she would put it down in the proper place. And so what I'm saying is, not only her, but Jesse also. Jesse does a lot of work for me up there, or down there, I should say. And we know children are a blessing, but sometimes you say to yourself, I've never been that way, and they're not that way because I raised them that way. It must be their grandparents. You suppose? No. It's because of a sinful nature. So disappointments are like a cut. If it is left unattended, it will become infected, right? I fell off of a post one time when I was a young guy, probably 7 or 8, and it ripped my back of my calf, and I've got still a scar about the size of my thumb because that barbed wire fence ripped my hide wide open, and my mother had to change it all the time. She didn't take me to the doctor because it's too expensive at that time anyway. At least I think that's the way it was. But anyway, I still have a scar there. Well, sometimes our sins develop scars. And we know that a sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is set in them to do evil, right? Because of their sin. Because of your sin. None of us are perfect. And I know that all of us know about this. Let's turn to 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, at verse 1. And Elijah, he was discouraged and in despair much. There sometimes, not all the time, of course. But he said, "Why, Lord? I'm the only one out here that's a prophet that's preaching your word." But he wasn't. There was 450 false prophets. 450, as I recall, are still preaching the word or whatever that number was. Can't remember. Let's look at verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead. My throat's getting dry again. Said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook of Chidroth, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the raven to feed thee there." So, why did he have to be fed by the ravens? That's the way the Lord wanted it. Little as much when the Lord is in it. And so he went, and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook of Chidroth, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook to sustain him, because he was definitely weak. How long is the time that you've gone through a fast for somebody that you want to get saved? Been quite a while or just a short time? We all should pray for people to get saved. And I remember one of the guys up on the reservation that I was fasting, praying for him for a long time. I guess it was only 3 days that time. But he got saved. And it was a great day to be able to see somebody get saved. And so Elijah had gone through a real battle, but he didn't give up. He wasn't wanting to cast in the towel. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Arise thee to Jehoshaphat, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee." And so he rose and went to Jehoshaphat. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel that I might drink." So he's putting her to the test, isn't he? And we know that she had a son, and we know that that's all she had was a little bit, just to sustain her mother, her son, and herself as a mother. But yet the Lord said, "Do as my prophet had to say," and she did, and of course she was blessed. And many times we don't want to do the things that we do. I know my son-in-law said to my daughter the other day, "Why don't we just change places? You go to work for me and I'll clean the house." And she said, "No way, Jose. I'm not going to do that." Because he's a tile setter, and it takes quite a bit of work to lay tile, I'll tell you that. We laid all that in the other room there anyway. And it was, what, 13 by 13, Brother Dave? Can't remember. They were heavy anyway.
12 24 by 24.
Were they that big?
Yeah.
Seemed like they were 18. We'll measure it when we get done. Anyway, whatever the case is, it's a lot of work. And what I'm saying is that, excuse me, that it takes initiative to get in gear and get with the program. Don't look at the negatives, as the old professor used to say. Don't look at the hole in the donut, but look at the donut. And Elijah, verse 13, Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, and go, and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the curse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And it hadn't rained for 3.5 years, and that's why they had a drought. You know, we ought to be thankful, and we are thankful. We got rain, right? But who knows what the rest of the year is going to bring. I've got a fearful thing that it's going to get dry. But I'm not going to be negative. I'm going to be positive. So disappointments are like a cut. If we don't get it taken care of, it's going to fester and get worse, turn into a change in our attitude. We'll have envy, we'll have jealousy and anger and bitterness if we don't get rid of that disappointment. And we're all guilty of disappointments, either in other people or ourselves. And we must not cast away our confidence. And so Elijah was pressed to the limit until she walked by faith. In other words, Elijah was walking as the Lord wanted him to walk, but there was a time that he wanted to give it up because he was weak. And when we get hot and bothered and hungry and tired, sometimes we want to give it up. We say, "Lord, is it worth it?" Disappointed people never get started, do they? And that's why we need to have a positive attitude no matter what. I can't believe that Brother Jordan is still knocking doors. Really. He's got a lot of trouble, whether you know it or not, with his foot, with his... He got run over by a car, or was it a motorcycle? And the doctor snipped the nerve into his spinal cord. And then he's had 2 knee replacements. And now he's on the verge of being on dialysis. And it's terrible. I know that individuals that have been dialysis, it's a terrible thing to go through. So the impotent man didn't give up. And kept trying like the old frog and the stork. Have you ever seen that picture? I think I've mentioned this. And some of you have seen that. Where the old frog is about ready to get eaten by this stork. And the frog is holding his neck, trying to keep him from swallowing. And the saying on the bottom of that says, "Don't give up, don't give up." And many times we think to ourselves, is it worth it? Speaking to people and having them mock you and ridicule you. Well, don't give up. It reminds me of a count. When I was down in Texas, knocking at the door, knocked at this guy's door, and I think I've said this, but bears repeating. Knocked at the door, this guy come out, didn't have any teeth in the front, and I told him, "Sir, I'd like to tell you what it takes to get saved. Know you're on the way to heaven, and that you got peace in your heart. You get out of here, or I'm going to kick you down the street," and just went like this with no teeth and looked as ugly as sin. And he followed me down to the car and felt like he was going to kick me in the head before I got in my car. And kept chewing on me and chewing on me. And I said, "I'm not going to give this up." Went down a few blocks ahead, or further down, and led a whole family to the Lord. And they got into church. And you know something? The devil wants us to give up because of despondency, discouragements, and despair. Well, I think I've gone far enough here that you can absorb a little bit of what the Lord has for us here tonight. So let's go ahead and go in prayer. My voice is about to fizzle out anyway. Lord God, thank you for an opportunity to be able to know that you don't want us to give it up. You want us not to be disappointed. You don't want us to run with the wrong crowd. And none of this is new to us. We know it. We're mature Christians. But yet, Lord, when we have an opportunity to be able to look at other people, don't compare them with us, because it's so easy to do. So we don't want to compare ourselves among others, but we're not wise. And when we compare ourselves among others, we are foolish in our thinking that we need to be like somebody else. We can emulate some of their patterns, but not say that we want to be like them in regards to thinking that they're better. So help us to be able to be speaking out. Give us the boldness and be able to continue on to be the people that you would have us to be. We thank you for what you're going to accomplish here the rest of this week until we meet in your house again. Be with the pastor. You enjoy the company up there with his son and daughter-in-law and grandkids, and pray that they'll have a safe journey back, and give us all a good week. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.